Welcome to the August 2nd, 2009 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Cherish the Time You Have. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I know it's raining outside, but you can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you this morning. Welcome to worship. We are glad that you are here today. We would like to find out who is with us in worship. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests to fill this out, put your name down, contact information, and check the appropriate boxes. This allows us to get to know you a little bit better, to know a little bit about you. Also, it allows our members to find out names of guests that are on their pews. We ask that once you sign it, if you could send it down to the end of the pew, everybody has a chance to sign it, then send it back to where it got started. The first person, if you could rip out the pages that were used this morning, that will help our ushers at the end of the service. Reminder, our crisis control items of the month. We collect items as a church to send to crisis control every month. This month is oatmeal and grits, and there are locations around the church. We're trying to bring up the numbers of collections that we can have for those items each month. So oatmeal and grits, if you're able to out at the store and able to buy some and bring them to church, we will get them to crisis control. Let's see. Other announcements, you'll see many listed there in your upcoming events as well as opportunities for the week. We had a great week of Vacation Bible School. Very thankful for all the volunteers who worked so hard for so long to make that possible. You don't do it for recognition, but I'm recognizing you now, saying thank you for the efforts that you put in this week. Angie Summers was our VBS director. She is at the beach recovering from VBS. But I hope that you would talk to her especially and to say a word of thanks to her. We had many visitors this week. Even with many of our own being out of town, we had had a great a number of people who were here that do not normally come, and it was a good time together. But you'll see other things listed there, upcoming events, opportunities for the week. Raymond.
In the past couple of years in Vacation Bible School, we collected money and resources for Watermark Church to use as part of their outreach to that area down there. And the way they were doing that is through school supplies. This year, we felt like the need was more urgent here at home with Second Harvest Food Bank, and that's a wonderful opportunity we've had to serve our local people. But we wanted to give you an opportunity. I know that myself and several others are going to be watching the circulars that come in, you know, where they have the school supply sales where you can get 5 packs of pencils for a penny and stuff like that. If you see those things come in and you would like to participate in that, please go ahead and take advantage of those opportunities. You can probably spend $5 and get 3 or 4 bags worth of school supplies, and there'll be an action packer that'll be out here at the information center that'll say school supplies for Watermark on there. Just to give you just a little bit of background, what they do with these school supplies is they have an opportunity to go into the open houses at all the schools down in Troutman. I know it's kind of rare to see that opportunity, but they do have that opportunity. And they give out these school supplies to the children as they come to open house and then extend an invitation for them to come to their church. So it's a wonderful outreach opportunity for a very small cost. They can reach a lot of children and families. So if you would like to participate in that, I just wanted to let you know we will be collecting those school supplies. If you don't want to go out and purchase them and want to give me a check and I'll go do it, that's fine. Just make the check out to Watermark Church, and then Joel can do that maybe instead of myself, and they can get the ones down there that they feel like they need. So you can either put them in the action packer at the information center or give me a check made out to Watermark Church. Thank you very much.
Okay. Other announcements I'll let you know. We are Today was a scheduled pool party for the church. The entire church was going to get together at Town and Country Pool. Well, I checked the weather forecast, and it depends on who you talk to. 75% chance of rain on one website, and it's going to be cloudy on the other. So I'm not really sure. I need a job as a weatherman. That's what I really need to know. I only have to be right one-tenth of the time, and I'll make a lot of money. I think we're going to go ahead with the way things look. We're going to postpone the pool party, and we will reschedule. So life will be here tonight. We'll make sure that word gets out, but life will be here tonight. I was looking forward to the pool party as well, but we will make sure we don't want anything to spoil the hamburgers and hot dogs, and rain does not go with hamburgers and hot dogs. So we want to make sure we have the best time. We will put that out in the newsletter and get that out in the mail to you. We will have that in the next couple of weeks sometime in August. Okay. I think that's all the announcements we have. We'd like to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers there to come in down the aisles now. You have already given us your information just a few moments ago on the pew pads. We'd like to get some information to you. So if you're a guest this morning, if you would just raise your hand as these ushers come back down the aisles, you will find a letter from our pastor in this packet, as well as a story of College Park, and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So we especially appreciate your presence in worship today. I think that's all the announcements, and I want to recognize Ms. Karen Leffler.
Good morning. We're going to again have a brief moment of business, and again I'd like to just ask our visitors to bear with us a moment as we go through this. We'll take just a few minutes and then we'll get back to worship. We are now in session, and I'll recognize Jeff Rawls.
Last Sunday you approved the church entering into a capital campaign. This week we're asking you to approve the leadership for that campaign. The Architectural Fundraising Committee moves that the following officers be elected to serve in our fall 2009 capital campaign with Generis Partners: the Executive Director, Carolyn Matthews, the Campaign Manager, Russell Talley, and that we empower these two individuals to lead the process of enlisting the remaining positions for the campaign. The job descriptions for these two positions are property of the consultant, so they will not be part of our regular operating manual.
Okay, this comes from a committee. No second is required. Is there any conversation, any question, any discussion? Seeing none, we'll go to a vote. All those in favor of this motion as presented, please signify by raising your hand. Any opposed? Motion carries. We are out of session.
Will you pray with me? Great are you, Lord. You are almighty. You are all powerful, all knowing. You are everywhere. There is no place that we can go. No place on this earth, nowhere that you are not. And some days, God, that's all we need. just to get by. Some days, Father, it's hard to get out of bed because of the issues that we're facing in our lives or the questions. Or sometimes life has us run down and worn out, full of frustration. But Father, on this day, you got us out of bed. You have given us the gift of life. And whether we feel like it's a good day or not, you are our Lord and our Savior. And in your presence, all life has purpose. Today we have something to learn. Today we need to be changed to be more like you. So Father, however we came this morning, and for whatever reason we are here, may this hour of worship be for you. Thanking you for this life. Thanking you for this mercy and this grace. Thanking you for the breath that you just gave us, and the life eternal that is coming our way for those who believe on Christ. This is why we come to worship. This is why we come together. Be in our presence, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
the kids join me down front. Hey, can you guys kind of turn your bodies towards me a little bit? Yeah, there you go. Can somebody tell me why we come to church every Sunday? Do we just come to, we come to worship God. You're right, we do. And Pastor Raymond is going to be talking about how important it is to believe in God and how important it is to support each other, right? That's why we have friends, right? Thumbs up. Yeah, maybe. Well, also, we have these spiritual gifts, and, you know, that means that we can sing, and we can, what else do you think? We can dance, you're right, and maybe we can play the handbells, right? And these are all things that God wants us to do, and he wants to use our body as one to do that, right? Okay. Huh. All right, well, today I have a question. We have been going to camp all summer, and we've talked about this one special verse. And we've worked really hard to learn that. We've done lots of Bible studies, and we've done lots of quiet times with God. And can anybody help me remember what verse that is? Do you think you can remember? It was on the back of our T-shirts. Ooh, Christian. Awesome. That was great. All right. Did you guys hear that? Yeah? You think you can help me say that all together? You ready? When I count to three, we're going to say it. Okay. One, two, three. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. Right. Very good. Give yourself a pat on the back. That was awesome. That was awesome. Well, I also have a bookmark for you, and I'm going to pass a few this way. If you'll just take one and pass it to the next person, and I'm going to pass some down here, and let me know if you need some more. Yep, take one and pass it. Take one and pass it. Here you go, Christian. I'll give you some for that group. All right, and now, what does the bookmark say? Can you tell me? Thank you. Can you tell me what the bookmark says? Maybe?
I don't know what that is.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you. Are you ready? It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? And Philippians 4:13. Isn't that just what we said? That's our verse for the summer, and it's right here. Well, now you do. Whoops. All right. And did you notice something else on the side? It says, Summer 2009. So you can put this in your Bible or in a special place to help you remember all the fun times that we had together, right? You think so? That sounds great. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and pray. God, thank you so much for letting us come together today and be with our friends and learn more about you. And God, I pray that you help us cherish the times that we have together. In your name I pray. Amen.
Our scripture text for this morning comes first from the Old Testament in the book of Psalms. I'll be reading from the 111th Psalm. And if you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close to you, which is also the New International Translation. From Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. And from the New Testament, in Paul's letter to the Philippians, the third chapter of Philippians, beginning in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For, as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for these beautiful children that we've seen up here in the pulpit a few moments ago, and for all the kids who were here filling this church with energy and enthusiasm this week during Vacation Bible School. Lord, to watch these kids learn about your word and to learn about you is very powerful for those of us who have been there a long time ago. It's powerful to see that these same Bible stories that we were excited to learn about as children are just as relevant and just as meaningful and just as motivating as they were when we were children and long before we were born. Lord, thank you for your word and the way that it stands the test of time and means so much in our lives. And just like your presence remains a consistent promise that has a consistent impact in our lives. Lord, for those of us who are older than these children, maybe a little bit more weathered and a little bit more stressed, dealing with some things that adults have to deal with, stress and work and the realities of this world, death, pain and suffering. Lord, help us to think more like these children and to have faith more like these children, to just trust in you, to believe in you, and to know that our Heavenly Father is watching over us and keeping us safe and in his care each and every moment. Lord, I pray for all of those here and all those who are not with us, all of our families and our friends who need our prayers, that this week that you would just hold us a little bit tighter and help us to feel your warmth like we've never felt before. Help us to know that you're with us and your presence to be felt so strongly that we can't turn from you, we can't run from you, that we just turn and embrace you back, Lord, because that's what we need. Lord, thank you for loving us the way you do, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. Thanks for not giving up on us. We are your people, Lord, and we love you, and we're far from perfect, but we want to love you more and we want to feel your presence more. Lord, give us the strength and the wisdom and the maturity to seek your presence this week at the same time that we believe like little children. Because there's no reason for us not to have energy for you and enthusiasm for you. There's no reason we can't clap and sing and celebrate the fact that we are children of God, created by you, for you. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for watching over us. Please do it today. Please do it this week for everyone here and all those that we love and all those that need you. Amen.
It's good for not too much time to pass between my prayers, because I remember this time not to let my sleeve get hung up on that. Would you pray with me? Hear our prayer of thanksgiving, O Lord. We're thankful that you are the great Lord Almighty, that you reign today, and that you are supreme. We thank you that you invite us to come just as we are, to unite in the body of Christ. We're thankful for the Vacation Bible School, and we ask that you will nourish and water the seeds that were sowed last week, that you would bless what we do through you for our offering to other missions, to Watermark Church, and to help feed our neighbors and our community. In the glorious name of Jesus, amen.
Down here.
So how many of you went home last week after church and did a Google search on the year 2012? Be honest. How many of you went home and did that? Really? Nobody. Well, some of you lied to me this week during Bible school then, because I had several conversations along the way during Bible school that talked about, was asking more questions about this whole phenomenon with the year 2012. And just to let you know, I'm not going to spend any more time on it, but there's a lot of information and there's a lot of misinformation, as is much the case of anything spectacular. You know, anything that has that kind of potential to get people excited or upset or everything else, there's a lot of misinformation as well. But as I was thinking about that and talking with some of you during Bible school this week, it raised some other questions. Questions in my mind that kind of related to our text this morning. So that's where I'm going to start. You know, it's those kind of questions that we don't want to ask, but a lot of times people ask for us. Questions like, if you realize that the world as you've always known it was on the brink of collapse, what would you do about it? What would you do? You know, if a hostile foreign civilization, a hostile foreign power sought to obliterate us as a country and everything that we hold dear, how would we respond to something like that? You know, if civilization itself, if modern civilization itself were poised above the precipice of annihilation, where would you go? What would you do? You know, those kind of questions sometimes we don't want to ask, but sometimes they come to mind because of something that happens. Last week, I saw this thing on the news about the oldest surviving World War I veteran passing away. Did you see that? At age 111. At age 111, the oldest survivor of World War I. And I got to thinking about those who have lived through world wars. And the stress, the uncertainty, the questions they must have asked. And that led me even further to think about the people of England in particular. And those questions they must have asked themselves about what would we do in these circumstances when they declared war on Nazi Germany in September of 1939. Because the people of England had good reason to be afraid. They'd watched the Nazis march across Europe, annexing Austria, absorbing parts of Czechoslovakia, invading and conquering Poland and the Low Countries and France, that they seemed invincible. The Nazis at that point seemed invincible, and the Nazis boasted the most advanced air force in the world, the Luftwaffe. Their armies seemed unstoppable in the early years of the war. That they just marched across and annihilated everything in their path. They used a new strategy called Blitzkrieg, which meant lightning war. And when the war finally came to England in June of 1940, it came by virtue of the fact that British forces were routed in France and pinned up against the English Channel on the beaches of a French town called Dunkirk. The invasion of Britain seemed not only inevitable, but imminent. And into this highly charged atmosphere stepped the British Broadcasting Corporation. You see, in a country where landscape was varied, you had large towns, and then you had market towns, and then you had small little villages. It was a country that was at times isolated and at other times highly connected. And the BBC's broadcast, their goals were to draw the people together, to make them one country. The BBC was a monopoly in that sense, and the leadership wanted to extend a helping hand. They wanted to extend hope to the people whose courage the very country's existence depended on. And so in February of 1941, the BBC contacted a gentleman who taught at Oxford University, who had written a book about why bad things happen. The book was written from personal experience, and the name of the book was The Problem of Pain. And they enlisted this gentleman to help them in the war effort. The man's name, many of you have figured out by now, was C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors. And he would later attain lasting fame as the creators, and for the new generation, they would know him as the writer of what? Exactly. Chronicles of Narnia. And over the course of the war, beginning in August of 1941 and ending in April of 1944, C.S. Lewis prepared and delivered four sets of radio addresses. They were series, if you will. I guess like a sermon series. They extended over those four sets. And they were concerning themselves with different aspects of Christian faith and Christian life. And of course, naturally, they're based solidly upon Scripture. And the four titles of these series were Right and Wrong, What Christians Believe, Christian Behavior, and Beyond Personality, What Christians Actually Believe. And in each series, Lewis spoke as a layman, a Christian layman. And he was just offering himself thoughts, conversations with other men and women, offering hope, drawing them along a journey of hope and a journey of discovery. And the common sense approach he used was so personable. Everyone could relate to it. It was like a conversation, talking about everyday experiences, a very clear language so that he could create shared understanding with the people who were hanging to his words because things seemed hopeless. Lewis collected and expanded those broadcast talks into a book called Mere Christianity. As you can see, it's a very small book. As you can see, mine is well noted in here. And if you would like to read something other than Scripture that gives you a clear understanding of what the Christian life could, should be about, I would highly recommend Mere Christianity, because it talks about Christianity without denominationalism. It is described with intellectual rigor, and it's timeless in the sense it deals with those issues that the people of Great Britain and England were dealing with, but it's also the issues that we deal with in uncertain times. And to the people of Great Britain, who were threatened by war and darkness, C.S. Lewis was a beam of light, pointing them to Christ, pointing them to hope in Jesus Christ. Faith, dealing with your own mortality and at the same time dealing with issues of faith. So let me rephrase my initial question where we started. Given this, if you realized that the world as you have always known it was on the brink of collapse, what would you do? You know, if some hostile foreign power sought to obliterate all that we hold dear, how would you respond? From 1944 back up 1900 years. We'll find yourself in Middle Eastern part of the Roman Empire in the mid to late first century. And you would find yourself as part of a group of people of a new faith that were called Christians. Christianity. And these people had the same kind of questions that the people in Great Britain in the 1940s were asking themselves. Now, if you look at the book of Ephesians, given the relatively late dating of the book of Ephesians, which was probably the late first century, you know, even though the letter does not directly refer to specific instances, there's reasonable certainty that persecution was a common part of the Roman Empire at that time, and Christians were a common part of that persecution. So as the people that read this letter were reading the book to them, they would have been facing some of the same type of questions and circumstances the people of England were facing in the 1940s. These life and death questions that were underlying it, the book to the letter of Ephesians. And this morning, our epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, the first 16 verses. But before we read that, let's answer some questions. There have been those who've questioned the authorship of Ephesians. Some said, well, it wasn't Paul, because some of the language that he used, some of the sentence structure and everything else, it wasn't Paul. But certainly there's a couple other options. One, if it wasn't Paul, then it could have been a student of Paul's who penned the letter on Paul's behalf, which was a very common practice in that day and time. There's actually another possibility, and that is the fact that since Paul is in his latter years, I don't know about you, but my writing style has changed a little bit from the time I was 30 to the time that I am now. And it's changed a little bit. So there is a very distinct possibility that this letter was indeed genuine Pauline in its penmanship, But his writing style has just matured a little bit. But whether you believe that Paul actually penned the letter or not, you can't argue with the fact that it is genuine Pauline in its content and in its focus. It was very focused on the things that Paul's are interested in. And the language, again, is genuine Paul in his teachings come through very clearly. We're sure that it contains some very specific instructions for the people on how Christians are to behave when they're faced with the kind of turmoil, the kind of upset, the kind of uncertainty that the people then faced and certainly have faced down through the years. In the first three chapters of this letter, it set forth very specific understandings of the benefit that's offered by Christ to both Christians and to Jews. By both. And then the author exhorts Christians to particular forms of behavior, as he says in the fourth chapter, verse 1, to a life worthy of the calling to which we've been called. And then the author goes on to call Christians to humility, to gentleness, to patience, to bearing one another in love, maintaining the spirit in the bond of peace. After all, it's one body, it's one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Furthermore, he goes on to say that God has bestowed certain gifts upon people. Some are apostles, some are prophets, some are evangelists, some are pastors, some are teachers. And he says Christians must grow up. We've got to grow up. We have to set aside our petty differences, our trivial concerns, and live as people of faith. That is our greatest testimony. Even in the course of danger, in the face of uncertainty, to live as people of hope who've been redeemed by Christ and are living with that kind of hope. So for the first century followers of Jesus Christ, their lives were threatened by Roman persecution and worldly powers seeking to annihilate them. The letter to Ephesians offers a vision of Christian faith that can withstand the dangers peculiar to their time, carrying them through to new hope, to new life in Jesus Christ. Leaning on faith, trusting in teachings that have been passed on by a first century disciple or by a 20th century theologian like C.S. Lewis. You know, it sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Well, preacher, it's not always that easy. I know. Sometimes it's just downright difficult. You know, but God knows how complicated, God knows how difficult sometimes the path of discipleship can be. Whether it's for Christians who live among daily death and destruction. And I'm not just talking about England. I'm talking about people that live in our world today. That live with daily death and destruction brought on by war. Whether it's for Christian facing persecution in the first century. Or whether it's for believers who are facing the reality, the new assumptions that have been brought on by 9/11. All of us. In such circumstances, we find the author of Ephesians reminding us of something we already know, something we should already know, that each and every single one of us are equipped for service. Each and every one of us are equipped for active ministry. Each and every one of us are equipped for discipleship through knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me rephrase it one more time. If you realize that the world, as you've always known it, is on the brink of collapse, what would you do? I don't know about you, but I think what I would do is probably live each day as if it were my last. I think I would cherish every moment of every day much more. And the inevitable question is, why can't we do that now? Why do we have to be on the verge of collapse? We may be there and we don't know it. Why can't we do it now? You see, because none of us are guaranteed tomorrow, at least not on this earth. So why don't we do it now? we can live this way because the basis of our faith, our lives, is on the one who's triumphed over the world. The one who has given us his spirit so that we can be bound together in one body. The body of Christ. With all of this in mind, I want you to close your eyes and hear the words of Ephesians chapter 4 with fresh ears in light of this context. Close your eyes and hear these words reaching out to you from the mid-first century. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of God for us today. Christ is the head of the body. And as we come to the Lord's table, we recognize Christ as the head, but we also recognize he has given us the Spirit so that we're one body, bound together to love and encourage and support one another. So even in the most difficult of times, we have not only the power of the Spirit, but we have the physical touch of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we celebrate that together as we come to the Lord's table. The nature of the kind of love that it would take to offer yourself. We understand it in part as we love our children and we offer ourselves for them. But for the God who was perfect and almighty to give his Son for us, who obviously are imperfect, I'm not sure what kind of love that takes. It's a mystery to me, but it's an offering to all of us. So as we hear the words of Jesus say, "This is my body, was broken for you, take and eat," we need to ask the question, are we reflecting that kind of love as we deal with other people? Take and eat. Thank you. We serve a God and have been given life by a God of covenants. He offered numerous covenants through the Old Testament. And then when Jesus approached his disciples at what we call or refer to as the Last Supper, he told them that in his blood was a new covenant, a covenant of forgiveness, a covenant of sacrifice. And he challenged us to take and to drink. We know from Scripture that on that night they sang a hymn before they went out. And we're going to do that in just a moment. But before we sing, I want to offer to you an invitation. I want to offer to you, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and we want to give you a chance this morning to come to an understanding of how much He loves you, that He died for you, and He wants to forgive your sin and have a relationship, a personal relationship, an intimate relationship with you. I'll be glad to share. I'll be hearing as we sing in just a moment. I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning and perhaps as we talked about fear and some of the things that people face in fear, you're sitting there saying, you know, I haven't really completely trusted God. I haven't really given Him the opportunity to speak through me in times of fear and uncertainty. And maybe you want to have a time of recommitment. You can certainly do that where you are. If you want to come here, the altar will be open if you'd like to come here and pray. We also offer you an opportunity if you'd like to be a part of this church. It's a wonderful group of believers. We talk about being one body and encouraging one another. I've never been in a congregation that does better than this church. And while we may flaunt that just a little bit, we're still striving toward perfection. We're not there yet. We admit that. But we would welcome you and encourage you, and we'd be glad to talk with you about ways we receive members. So whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that decision. We stand and sing together now. Jeff, if you would come.
I need our two interns to come forward, please. It has been a very fast summer, but this is the last Sunday. This has been a very fast summer. It just seems like yesterday was the middle of May and we were planning for the summer. And then it has been just flown by. And this is the last Sunday for Brittany and for Sydney. And we want to...
They waved at me. I waved.
They waved. Okay. They have done an extraordinary job. I want to thank the church This is an unusual place that allows this type of intern ministry, but it's exactly what I believe Scripture calls us to do as a church. That's why we have young people who have grown up in this church serving in churches around our state. And serving in a variety of capacities in the church or within the secular world, serving God in those places. This intern ministry is vital for our church to continue and for to have a place for young people who feel God's calling to discern that calling and put it into practice. You two have done a fabulous job this summer. I am thankful for every ounce of energy, every question that you've asked, every answer, bad answer you have forgiven me, they have worked tirelessly. They have spent much time with your children and with your teenagers. They have planned and they have made things happen. And most importantly, God has used the two of you to do a magnificent work here. We have a small token of our appreciation that. Okay, come on, bring it up here. We have something we want you to remember us by. We have a picture here. Let's see. Thank you, Vanna. Appreciate that. We have a picture from youth camp and the youth who have signed that. We have a picture from children's camp and the kids have signed that. And we want you to remember. I know. It has been my pleasure to serve with the two of you. We want to give this church an opportunity to say thank you. They will be standing down front at the end of the service. Also, if you're a child, a youth, or an adult who did not have a chance to sign these, I'm going to take these back. And I'm going to, out at Smith Hall, we're going to have a place for you to come by and sign if you would like. But most importantly, we want to offer the church an opportunity to come by and to give you a hug and shake your hand and to say how much we love you and we thank you. Can you go sit right down there?
I want to remind you that Life will be here tonight. Life service will be here at 7 o'clock in Smith Hall. And there again, there is no pool party this afternoon. Later date to be announced. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for the blessings of this day. Father, we pray that we would indeed cherish every day, that we would accept it as a gift of life from you, because we know that's what it is. We pray that we would live as believers who are victorious over death, and that we would offer hope, peace, and love to all we come in contact with. It's in Jesus' name and for his sake that we ask these things. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.